Good morning again, everybody. Y'all don't know, but I've already talked to y'all for 5 minutes without y'all being in the house. But I want to tell you, so you get it all over again. But it's good to see you today. So thankful you're allowing us to come into your house. And whether you're a member of Thomas Village Baptist Church, whether you've ever even been here, or you may not even know where we're at, we're thankful that we're with you today. We were hoping to be able to have a live service with the drive-in today, but the God sent the rain to feed the birds and made them happy, and we're thankful for that. But whatever's going on in your life, know today that if you don't remember anything else, that nobody loves you like Jesus, nobody's done so much for you as Jesus, and if you'll let Him today, He'll do even greater things than you can ever imagine. This morning we're going to be in the book of Psalms, chapter 46. Psalms, chapter 46. But as you're turning there, I do want to compel you to maybe send a text to somebody. I'm learning different things about Facebook now. You can have a watch party. So get you a watch party up and ask some people to come in with you. But our next door neighbor, Miss Shirley, has reached out to us this morning, and her brother Jimmy Lane has been put into the hospital and is having some issues. And as you know, really, you can't be with loved ones right now while they're in the hospital. And so I made her a promise that we would have a time of special prayer for Mr. Jimmy. So I'm going to invite you, if you would, right now, just to come together with me, and let's lift up Mr. Jimmy. But then also, we know there's others that's had issues out there today as well. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for this day. I thank You for Your goodness, Your grace, Your mercy, Lord. I even thank You for the rain and all that You're doing with it. But God, as we come to You this morning, Lord, we are thinking about Mr. Jimmy today, God, not knowing what's going on, not knowing the situation, only that he's in a hospital by himself dealing with some physical problems. And so, Lord, I just pray right now that You reach down and give him peace. I pray You give Miss Shirley and the rest of the family peace. And God, we pray for healing. Lord, asking that You, the great physician, will reach down and just touch him and give him back his health. And Lord, let him get out of there to be with his family. And we give You all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, this morning, we're going to be in the book of Psalms, chapter 46. But if you know very much about me, you know that I was raised up as the son of a pastor. And so I've been in church really for all my life, 42 years, even the 9 months before that I was in there. My mom, she led music at many of the churches my daddy pastored at. And I can remember old burgundy hymns, these old red hymns that were about, I mean, they were really small. And they were just a lot of old songs that you don't hear anymore. Songs like Where Could I Go But to the Lord. And I was looking around this morning. I got a little done a little early with my outline, and so I went around and was looking. And so you might be hearing some different ones, but today I found one in an older book, and then I looked to see if it was in the Baptist hymnal, and it was. It's on page 595, and it's Send the Light. And I have not heard that song in years. Now, Brother Ken didn't know it, but he said that it had been a while since he had heard it as well. But I think, you may not remember the name, but I think that you'll remember the song if you've been around a Baptist church very much, all right? Send the Light. There's a call come ringing o'er the westless waves. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light, send the light. And a golden offering to the cross we lay. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, let the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Let us pray that grace may everywhere abound. Send the light, and a Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Send the light, send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, let us gather jewels for a crown above. Send the light, send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Amen. I could sing another one. That was fun singing. We do want to just remind you of some of our announcements. Don't forget to check out the TVBC Awana page. I know I was texting with Brother Wayne. I've talked with him a couple times this week and texted with Sister Tammy. I put a special message out there for you Awana workers and Awana students. I miss you. I'm ready for us to be back together. I'm still looking forward to us doing the Versathon, if we can get it done. But just to hear y'all down there laughing and enjoying yourself, but also as you learn the Scripture, is a blessing to your pastor, and I'm looking forward to it. Also, don't forget our Mondays and Fridays devotional and times of prayer. Thankful for all that have done it, and looking forward to others that are going to be stepping up and fulfilling their role as leaders of our church, deacons, others that are stepping up. Tomorrow, Brother Ken Flannery will be leading us in it. And then on Wednesday night, we'll be having our regular 7 o'clock service. Don't forget, we're still trying to make it June the 22nd through the 25th. We're praying that we'll be able to have our VBS. If we don't, we don't. We'll treat it just like we do our drive-in services. We're going to act in faith until it's made clear that that's not God's will. But we're going to walk towards that door until that door is closed. And we'll give Him glory for the closing of that door. But tonight, if you'll come back tonight, you'll understand the title of tonight's message, Lord willing, unless God changes it between now and then. But tonight I want to talk, as you're turning to Psalms 46, tonight I'm going to talk about ways that God speaks to us. Ways that God speaks to us, okay? And He does speak. If it's audible to you, then glory to God. I've never heard Him audibly, but I promise you He speaks in my life every day. But as you're turning to Psalms 46, maybe you think of somebody who you would usually at this time, I would say, okay, let's go shake somebody's hand. Maybe right now you just shoot them a text and say, virtual handshake in the name of Jesus this morning. But I'm going to invite Brother Otis Bowen, if he would, to come and just lead us in a word of prayer. Maybe share a word of testimony, but whatever God has on his heart. Brother Otis.
Good morning, church. Those in Facebook watching today, we're thankful you're watching and looking. And the Word tells us to watch and look.
Amen.
For we know not the hour. Jesus even told the disciples, they asked Him, Lord, when will be the end of the age of the earth? And He said, only the Father knows. And I don't know. some people have prophesied and told us that he was coming in 70s and 80s and 90s, and some every day someone's telling us that Jesus is returning. This is the end of the age, but they don't know, because Christ said no one knows except the Father. He will know. Christ will return when he says, "Son, go get my people. Mm-hmm. Go get my church." But we're thankful you are listening today and watching and enjoying being together, at least through Facebook. We're thankful that we can do this and still have some fellowship with each other. And I just encourage you to call friends and uplift them. I'm sure you're going to get a good message this morning from our pastor. And just share something from the message with them if they can't and don't have Facebook. But let's go to the Lord in prayer and just thank him for this day and for blessing us another day and another week. And we pray that this situation will end. We know not when, but God does. He's in control. Sometimes we have questions and we think he's not, but you can be reminded through his word that he says he knows all things, he controls all things, and even this. So let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this day, for loving us, for keeping us, for bringing us together in your spirit, for watching over us, Lord, and providing for us, for every detail that you give us in our lives, for our home, our health, our families, our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, our neighbors, our friends, and yes, Lord, even our enemies, because you tell us in your word to pray for our enemies. It's like heaping hot coals upon their head. It reminds them, Lord, of their lostness. And Lord, Father, we just pray for those out there that may be listening who have family members or even in their household that are lost. And we just pray, Lord, that this message this morning would touch their life and their heart, that they would turn from their way unto you. And we just thank you so much for our church and church family, for our deacons, our yoke fellows, Lord, each member of our church. We are missing each other so much, and we just pray, Lord, that we can be assembled together again.
Yes, Jesus.
With the drive-in service. If not, Lord, return us back to our church and allow us to be with you and fellowship with you. Every day we can fellowship with you, but we miss our church family. And Father, we just ask you to continue to bless us and watch over us. We pray for our nation. We pray for our president. Lord, he's under such fire from every side. Yes, Satan brings this, every side. And he has weathered it well. Lord, he shows his strength. And Lord, we just ask that your spirit would encourage others in Congress to stand still, stand straight, stand tall, Lord, and be what you called them to be, a servant to us, because you told us you came to be a servant. You didn't come to be served. You came to be a servant. And Father, we just ask that you would help us to be servants through Thomas Village Baptist Church. If there's folks out there needing anything, please call the pastor, call one of the deacons, call a friend, and they can get in touch with someone in the church. We will do whatever we can to help you, whatever it is. If it's bring groceries, take you to the doctor, come sit with you, come mow your lawn if you don't have anyone to do it, whatever you need is, I am promising you we'll make every effort to do that. And Father, we just thank you for hearing our prayers and our petitions. And we thank you, Lord, for loving us another day, for keeping us. We think sometimes we're keeping ourselves, but we're not. I think this virus episode has shown us that we're not our keeper. God, you keep us. You keep us well, and we forget that many times. We don't count our blessings every day. Mm-hmm. We presume upon your goodness and your love and your mercies. And I just thank you for all those mercies that you give us. And thank you, Father, for providing for us, for this facility, for Facebook, Lord, that's being used in the right way. And Father, we just continue to pray for our pastor and ask you to be with him this morning. And thank you for hearing our prayers and our petitions and for loving us another day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Otis. If you have Brother Matt Sexton as a friend on Facebook, that's Brother Otis's son-in-law, then you kindly got a little advanced knowledge on where the scripture was coming from this morning, because he posted it yesterday morning, and I texted him that that was going to be this morning's message. But what was neat to me is that, as at least as long as I've been preaching out of this Bible, and that's been for about 3 years, I guess now, 4 years now, I've not preached from this passage. But I promise you that while you may not know this passage specifically, Psalms 46, there's going to be a verse towards the end, specifically verse 10, that I know that you've probably heard before. Whether you knew the address, the neighborhood or not, it's going to sound very familiar. But if I had a title for this morning's message, it would be this: Be Still, Be Quiet, and Know. Be still, be quiet, and know. Let's read in Psalms verses 46, chapter 46, beginning in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake and the swelling thereof. There is a river, the stream whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Shelah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He makes wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Be still, be quiet, and know. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father God, in Jesus' name again, I come to you thanking you for this day, thanking you for the privilege of gathering in your name, whether it be on Facebook, whether it be together in person. God, we're thankful that we have that Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that unites us no matter the distance, no matter the situation. God, we are united in you and through the love that Christ has shed in our hearts. But right now, God, I pray you forgive me of my sins. I invite you, Holy Spirit, to have your way. And Lord, I pray that we will leave this time of learning better able to serve you and to hear you and to be what you'd have us to be. And it's in Jesus' name, amen and amen. I was privileged this week to be able to preach revival over in Lee County at Silverleaf and a drive-in revival. And God put this scripture on my heart on Monday. And I kindly wrestled with it through Monday night. I talked with Ken about it. I said, I don't know if this is the message for the revival or if it's the message for Sunday. But after some praying and coming together, I feel like that this is the message for today. And so this Psalms, we think a lot of the Psalms, a lot of us would say, well, who wrote it? David. Well, this wasn't written by David, but I want to kind of tell you the when and the why behind Psalms 46, because I think it'll help clear up some things and help us understand on down the line. While we know that this is about how God divinely delivered Judah, the southern kingdom, and specifically the city of Jerusalem, there seems to be some difference of opinion on when it was written or about what situation it was written in. Some believe that it was when Jehoshaphat was king over Judah, over in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And that was when the Moabites and the Ammonites came up against Jerusalem and God delivered them there. Now, I myself believe, as some other scholars do, that it's over in 2 Chronicles chapter 30. This is when Hezekiah is the king of Judah and Jerusalem. And now both kings, Jehoshaphat and Hezekiah, were godly kings, that they served the Lord and followed in His ways. However, Hezekiah seems to have a more intimate and a more close relationship with God. He did a lot for the temple. He did a lot to make sure that the festivals were carried out. He worshiped the God. But he also had a close relationship with the prophet Isaiah. In fact, if you look over in 2 Kings chapter 20, this Hezekiah had 15 years added to his life. And when he was asked, "How do I know that I'm going to have it?" He said, God told him, he said, "I'll make the sun go back 10 degrees according to the time, you know, that they had the sundial. It would go back 10 degrees. And so he had that type of relationship with God. But no matter what, no matter who it was, this is what we know about this passage of Scripture. That it was not the king. It could have been Hezekiah, or it could have been Jehoshaphat, or it could have been anybody else. But it was the protector who was the same. That is God the Father. And it was God who arose as deliverer and in a supernatural power intervened, whether it was the Ammonites and the Moabites with Jehoshaphat, or as I believe, as it was when the Assyrians came up against Hezekiah, it was still God and God alone that brought the victory. Now, as we're thinking about be still, be quiet, and know. Last Sunday, if you'll remember, we preached about Jesus being more than enough. And as I started, I mentioned a concern that I have for myself as well as others during this time. And that is whether you be a pastor, a teacher, a minister worker, or bivocational, or just a regular servant and member of the church, we can get caught up in the Lord's work and truly miss out on a deeper relationship with the Lord. We can get caught up in studying God's Word and miss truly spending time with God. I try to tell people it's not the quantity of the Word you read on a daily basis, but it's the quality. Maybe you only get one or two verses in, but man, God can speak more in one or two verses than man can in deep volumes of literature. We can even sing praises to Christ while never worshiping Him or meeting with Him in that quote-unquote worship services. But seeing being active and being busy, but missing out on the most important thing. And after last Sunday morning service, I got to thinking, and we see a clear picture of that in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, where Jesus comes into the house of Mary, the sister of Lazarus. He comes into the house of Martha, the sister of Lazarus and of Mary. And as Jesus was speaking in her house, Mary sat at Jesus' feet, and Martha was going to and fro, keeping things in order and getting things ready for Christ. And she got a little upset and asked Jesus, said, "Won't you tell Mary to get up and to do something?" And Jesus looked at her and said, "I'm not going to get on to her, because some things are more important than other things. And some things will not be taken away." And what he was talking about, matter of fact, he calls it the most needful thing. And that is the relationship that we have with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But as Christians, we get caught up in busy work. And it's a natural thing because we live in an ever-going, fast-paced society. I gotta be at work. I gotta have the kids to school. I gotta take them to practice. I gotta keep the yard up. I gotta be at the deacon's meeting. I gotta be at the doctor's appointment. I gotta be at Awana. I gotta be at that ball game. I gotta make this appointment. And on it goes. And you know, none of those things are bad things. But we get stuck in fast pace. We don't even know how to slow down anymore. I mean, even when I try to slow down, my muscles are tense. I can feel it in my body that I want to go. But God has put up a big red stop sign in America and around the world today with this coronavirus. And I know that we along with everybody else in America, we're looking for a flashing green light. I believe I feel it in myself that as a nation we're getting antsy. We're wanting to get out and go. We want to see normality again. But I want to tell you, while I'll never try to explain or act like I know what God's divine and sovereign plan is, I have no doubt in this, that God is trying to speak to us. He's trying to speak to us as a world. He's trying to speak to us as a nation. He's trying to speak to us as individuals, specifically as brothers and sisters in Christ who bear the name of Jesus. And you know, I know that if I asked you, what have you learned? And you'd say, hey, I've learned I don't have to have everything I thought I had to have before this. I know that I valued my family more than I did before and didn't realize how little time I got to spend with them. But let me ask you these questions. How has God spoken to you during this time? What have you learned about your relationship with Jesus? In what way has the Holy Spirit worked inside of me? You see, because yes, it's good to work on your relationship with your family. It's good to get out and work in the yard. It's good to get out and sweat a little bit. But praise God, as believers, truly I believe this, that God wants us to use this time. And I think He's pulled us away from our religious traditions and from what we would call normality so that He could get us into a place to where it's just us and Him. And it would be a shame. I'm going to be honest with you. I pray that I learned the lesson the first time, because I don't want to have to go through it again. I don't want to have to repeat it again. And I pray that in my lifetime we never see anything else like this. But are we listening? You listen at that verse of Scripture, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I've been thinking about this a lot this week. And I want you to notice something there. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. Be still and know that I am God. I did a word study on that word still this week, and it kind of surprised me. It means to wait, to withhold action for a period of time. Is that not what is happening in America right now? To relax, to let go of your muscles, the force, and the tenseness that's in them. You remember I said, I can feel it up, tensed up in my body. That's one reason why I enjoy deer season so much, because it makes me get out there and I have to learn to let my body just relax in that tree stand. It means to sink down. You're saying, Brian, what are you talking about? To slump? No, it means to go from a higher level to a lower level. Almost to humble yourself. It means to relent or let go of. To allow the action that you've been engaged in to decease. As I continued studying what the word still means, while it means being free from motion, it still requires that we pay attention. That we be alert within the situation. That while we're not going, while we're not moving, while we're not flexed, while we're withholding action for a period of time, we're still to be alert. We're still to be listening and paying attention. I looked at these uses in the Old Testament, and some of the men that was involved in it just kindly surprised me. But listen, Moses in Numbers chapter 9 verse 8, it says, "And Moses said to them, stand still, and I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you." What was he saying? He was saying, be still, but pay attention. Joshua chapter 3 verse 8, "And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when you come into the brink of the water of Jordan, then ye shall stand still in the Jordan." Then probably my favorite that I read this week was over in Job chapter 37 verse 14. And this is God speaking to Job. "Hearken unto this, O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Let go. Pay attention. And wait and see. In each one of these, we see that stillness is directly a part of God's plan and God's work in the life of His people. Just like this is not chance or happenstance in your life specifically, in the life of America, in the life of the world. This is not just a season, but God has intentionally allowed this to happen on an individual basis. But then in the New Testament, we see that quote-unquote stillness is involved in the ministry between Christ Jesus and those around Him. Two blind men over in the book of Matthew, chapter 20, verse 32. And He stopped. The King James says, stood still. And Jesus called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? He stopped and paid attention to find out what their need was. But another thing that I learned from this as I studied the word still, now remember, it means to hold off on your action for a period of time or to wait, but to pay attention, it also holds with it the idea of being quiet, to hold one's peace. The Levites spoke to the congregation in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 11, so that the Levites calmed, or the King James says, stilled all the people, saying, be quiet, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved. So you see, he stilled them and told them to hush. Caleb, to the Hebrews, as they stood at the edge of Cana before that they could have conquered, Numbers 13:30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome it. When it says stilled, he means that he brought them the commotion down and quieted them down so that they would pay attention. You know, as you study the Bible with the account of Elijah in the cave, if you remember, and I'm not going to read this, but you can read it in the book of Kings 19, verses 11, 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 through 13. You'll see that Elijah has had a great victory. He's defeated the prophets of Baal. He's prayed, and a 3.5 year a drought was done away with. Great mountaintop experience, but Jezebel said, let me die if today you don't wind up like those prophets of Baal. And so this man ran, and he ran to a mountain, and he was depressed. He was physically tired. He was run down. And the Bible says that God was going to speak to him and had told Elijah, I'm going to speak to you. But what happens? There's a strong wind or a tornado that blew through the mountains. But that wasn't God. There was an earthquake that shook the ground. But that wasn't God. And then there was a great fire. But that wasn't God. But then it says, in a low whisper, or I love the way the King James puts it, in a still, small voice, God asked him, what are you doing here? You see what had to happen? God got him to a place where he was worn out. He physically couldn't go anywhere. He was tired. He was drained physically. He was drained emotionally. And he got him still and he got him quiet so he could talk to him. In a separated place from his everyday goings and comings, separate him from his ministry, separated him away from his work. Why? Because he wanted to talk to him a little bit. And I think that's where we're at today, brother and sister in Christ, that God has got us to a place. He slowed everything down. He's took us away from our labors. And I believe He wants to talk with us. And as He says, be still and know. Here's the problem today. We in our society do not like to be still. And we don't like to be quiet. That's me. I've learned this about myself. Brother Paul's heard this week. But for instance, myself, if I'm on the phone, if I'm talking, I'm not sitting down. I am pacing the house. If I'm here at the church, I'm walking up, down the hall, downstairs. I go out the front door at my house, walk around it and go in the back door. I walk up the stairs and all that. Why? Because I'm talking and I'm walking. I'm moving and I'm making noise. That's just the way it is. In my prayer time here at Thomas Village, if you ever come up here, don't expect to find me on the altar. I make laps around the sanctuary. I walk around. You'll hear me. It'll be like a race car track. But it'll be me going around, and I'll sound close and then I'll sound far away. Why? Because I like to be up and do it. And this is I'm trying to do better about this, but my wife would amen this if she was here. At my house, you're going to find me one of two ways. I'm either up doing, working, doing something, or I'm laying down. I mean, it is either I'm going or I'm not. That's just the way it is. And then I learned something else about myself. I hate for there not to be background noise. The deacons know this about me. I have a dehumidifier in my office. And in the summers, it gets a little thick down there, a little sticky down there. Humidity gets up pretty high. But I've let it run all year long. And even in the winter, when that thing ain't running, I go over and look at it to make sure it's still right. And you know what I figured out? I just like the noise. I like the noise. You know what else? I go to sleep with the TV on. Why? Because I like the noise. I like to move around, and I like for there to be some background music going on around me. But that's directly against the command that I believe that God has for me, and I believe He has for you. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. And again, I'm not sure what the Holy Spirit is wanting to speak to you today, what God is wanting you to know. But in this passage of Scripture, I think there's some things that He wants us to know, and that if we'll be willing to be still and be quiet, then there's some other things individually that we'll know. The first thing the Holy Spirit could be saying to us is found in verses 1 through 3. And I believe He could be saying that He is our refuge. He is our refuge. Look there in verses 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in a time of trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof war and trouble, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Shelah. If you look at that word refuge, it means a place of shelter and safety, free from danger or harm. As this pandemic has began to move closer and closer to America, there were many articles that were suggesting ways that we could be safe from this coronavirus. And I tell you something that's funny. You don't really read about taking vitamins, or you don't really read about eating fresh food and all that stuff. They want you to depend on the CDC. Eat some fresh vitamins, get you some sunlight, praise God, and let God of nature do the work that He wants to do. Praise God. They were a whole lot healthier when they didn't take as many pills. That's your free one today, all right? But as we looked at this, there was one thing that stood out to me. One of the suggestions, and I read this in the LA Times, was taking the bomb shelters from the 1950s and the 1960s and buying them and making them our coronavirus fallout shelters so that we could just protect ourselves away from the world. The problem was you had to be rich to be able to buy one of those things. And then there was another one that said that if you have the money, then you need to move to New Zealand and go to New Zealand and over there. Then carry your sickness to New Zealand. I don't know. But you see, in all those articles, it was saying, place your trust in this. Place your trust. Find refuge in the bunker. Find refuge in New Zealand. When Jesus is saying, I'm your refuge. I'm a place of safety. I'm a place of shelter. In me, you are free from danger or harm. I mean, think about the number of things today that even in America, just America, that we have been dependent upon during these times. And many of these things I've been thankful for. But what we have learned is that they really have no value when it comes to protection. What is it? Our military. Thank God, I believe we have one of the best military in the world. And I'm thankful for the long hours that they've put in and how they've delivered meal. But you know what? They've been hit as hard as others have been hit by this. The men and the women that are on those boats have been sick, and even the ones that's worked up there trying to work a perimeter. They couldn't kill this virus. They couldn't kill this enemy. And in fact, they were just as much vulnerable to it as we are. See, we can't put our military is not our refuge. What about technology? Some of the best and the brightest of minds, along with the most advanced programs and computers, have yielded doodly squat, as my folks around Georgia would say. Nothing. We've not, for all the knowledge we have and for all the ability we have, did it save us from this sickness? Money. While the more you have, you probably get treated a little bit better. But I promise you this, that there's been many a person that's been well off financially has went to meet their maker because of the coronavirus. Possessions. Yeah. Doesn't matter how much toilet paper you had. I was told about a family this week in Georgia that 10, all 10 of the family, have it. Could you imagine all the stuff that they had? I mean, just 10 people and all the stuff that they had. But yet, it didn't do them no good. Position. It didn't matter if you were sir this, madam that. The Canadian Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has just been out of the hospital for about a week and a half, I think, now. And even some of the best actors. Or the most well-known, I don't know about best, but most well-known, Tom Hanks and his wife, all them. And all, think about this. Technology, military, money, possessions, positions, all these things. Many people say, if I could just have that, then everything would be okay. But God has showed us something in this. It don't matter what you have. There is no protection from mortality. You see, He says, I am your refuge. God is our refuge. Listen to what the psalmist describes there in verses 2a through 3. It says, for the earth will be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof are troubled and roared, though the mountains be shaking in the swelling thereof. In these three verses, the writer mentions some very powerful and potentially disastrous events. The earth is being removed, or basically the earth is being done away with. And the mountains become unstable and they fall into the sea. And the waters, when it says they roar and they trouble, mean that they're foaming and they're thrown together. Why? Because of a great tidal surge or a tidal wave or a tsunami. And all of these things, there is no earthly or human remedy for it. But before the writer focuses on these events, he focuses on the remedy. Even before there's a cure needed, he focuses on the cure. He says, I am your refuge. I'm a place of safety. And I am your strength. Listen, he says, for God, for Elohim, the mighty one, the I am. He is my refuge. He is a place of safety, a place of shelter, free from danger or harm. And He is a very present help, meaning that He is available, easily found, and easily possessed in a time of trouble or when you're in a tight spot and unfavorable circumstances. And He goes on to say, therefore, and remember, therefore means because of this, not because the earth being removed or the mountains being unstable and falling into the sea or the water foaming and surging as a tidal wave comes in. No, but because God, Elohim, the mighty one, is a place of shelter and free from danger, and because He is available and easily found and possessed in a tight spot in unfavorable circumstances, what does He say? He says, therefore I will not fear, because God is my refuge, and because God is my strength, and because God is a accessible and possessed friend in a time of trouble, He says, therefore I will not fear, or I will not trade my faith for fear. Ain't that good? And you know what? Is God trying to tell us that today? Is He trying to teach us to live by faith and not by what we're seeing all around us? That we don't have to be hooked to the computer screen 24/7. We don't have to have our earbuds in our, whatever they are, earbuds, pods, airstones. I read something about airstone today. I think it goes in the bathroom. But whatever. Whatever. Listen. Psalms 20:7 and 8. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. You know what? Some of the strongest of military things, he says, I'll not trust in them. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous man runs into it and is saved. Listen, be still, and you just might hear the Lord saying, I am your refuge, your strength, and a very present or a very accessible help when trouble arises. The next thing, as we listen and be still, the Holy Spirit may be saying in verses 4 through 7, I am your stream of refreshing. I am your stream of refreshing. There's a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Now, that verse 5, I know it's been written for years, but that's my baby's verse. That's Maddie's verse. I claim that verse for her before she was born, and that's the worst verse I pray over her when I pray for her. Verse 6, it says, the heathen rage, and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. Verse 7 again, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Shelah. Now this passage here is what convinces me that Psalms 46 was written about God's divine deliverance for Jerusalem and King Hezekiah when Assyria and Sennacherib came against them. You see, the king of Assyria had already attacked Jerusalem and took the gold and things like that. But then he comes back again and he lays siege to them. And basically what a siege is, and you can see this over in 2 Chronicles chapter 30. And what a siege is basically it's designed to cut off all supplies to the city so that basically you're starved out, you're choked out, and sooner or later you just have to give up. They don't have to waste energy, and basically they just cut everything off. But Hezekiah, through godly wisdom, diverted all the areas and streams of water to an underground tunnel so that they came out in the middle of Jerusalem. 2 Chronicles 30, verses 3 and 4. He, meaning Hezekiah, planned with his officers and his mighty men to stop the water of the springs that were outside the city, and they helped him, and many people gathered, and they stopped all the springs and the brook that flowed through the land, saying, why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water? But then, this actually, him diverting these waters and having this tunnel coming up in the middle of Jerusalem is a part of Hezekiah's legacy and his relationship with God. Because if you look over in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 2, it says this, the rest of the deeds of Hezekiah and all his might and how he made the pool and the conduit that brought water into the city, they are not written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Judah. But even today, modern archaeologists have found it. All you have to do, and there's literally plaques that have been described and inscribed saying that this is Hezekiah's tunnel. All you got to do is type in Hezekiah and tunnel, or type in this name, Gihon Springs, which means a gushing spring, or a spring overflowing with water. And because of the way that God gave him wisdom, they had that never-ending water that bubbled up there, and they were able to last until God killed the king of Assyria. I'm not going to try to say his name. He killed the king of Assyria because he blasphemed against the God of Israel. Now, what an awesome thing that is, ain't it? And so listen what it writes. He says, there is a river, the streams of which shall make glad the city of God. Now, throughout the Old Testament, Throughout the Old and New Testament, throughout all the Bible, we see God illustrated in many ways. But specifically, we see Him as flowing springs of waters and rivers of waters. Listen to what it says just in the Old Testament. Jeremiah 2:13, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me," listen, "me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." Instead of drinking from the living water, which is God Himself, they've got these false watering holes. They've got these man-made watering holes. Then Isaiah 12:3, "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." Jeremiah 17:13, "O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be put to shame. Those who turn away from you shall be written in the earth, for they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters." And then most of us know Psalms 1 verse 3. "He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields fruit in the season, and the leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers." So we see in the Old Testament that there is a stream of living water, and it is God Himself to His people, the Israelites. So without question, when we read that it says there is a stream that's flowing there into the city of God, well, praise God, if it's the city of God, then it is God Himself that is the joy of that city. So without question, but now let's jump to the New Testament. See, that's for the Hebrews. What about for us, the church, the Christians today? Oh, you know these. When Jesus was there at the Samaritan well with the woman who had had many husbands, and the man she was with at that time was not her husband. And she said, Jesus said, "Will you draw me some water?" They had the conversation, and Jesus looked at her in John 4 verses 13 through 14. And Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up with eternal life." And then on the day of the Feast of Tabernacles in John chapter 7 verses 37 through 38, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And remembering what Christ had spoken over in the book of John at the day of the festivals and at the well with the woman in Revelation 7 verse 17, it says, "For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Christian today, praise God, we have a river that is flowing through us. It does not sit still and it becomes stale. It never has to be refilled, or the pump doesn't have to be primed. It is not polluted, or it is not defiled, but it is pure from the blood of Jesus Christ that's always ever flowing inside of us today. In verse 46, verse 7, he says, "The Lord of hosts is with me." I looked up that word host, and you know what it means? It means the Almighty of armies and warfares. So all of these things mentioned in the first paragraph, the earth being removed or done away with, mountains becoming unstable and falling into the sea, tidal waves falling away, they have no bearing on our situations. Why? Because He is the mighty one of armies, of warfare, and of battles. He has already whispered into our ear that He is our refuge and our strength. But if we quiet down and be still, we just may hear Him say, "Ah, the Lord of hosts, flowing as a river of refreshment, joy, and strength in your life today." Be still, be quiet, and know. And then lastly, as we look at this last paragraph here in verse 6, could the Holy Spirit be saying, "Slow down, be quiet, and lift me up"? Slow down, be quiet, and lift me up. Look here in verses 8 through 10. Now we're going to get serious a little bit here. We're going to have to think some. "Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolation He hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts asunder the spear, or cuts the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathens. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Shelah. This paragraph begins with an invitation. God invites us to behold His strength and His ability. But look at the first thing. Come and behold the works of the Lord. What's the first thing? He says, the desolation. The destruction. The dismay. And the devastation. If you have not heard Brother Keith's devotion from Friday, I challenge you to go back and listen to it. He does a wonderful job declaring the love of Jesus, but he makes the point that while no one loves you like Jesus, we need to also recognize that Jesus is the righteous judge. Revelation 19, verse 15, he says, from his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God, the Almighty. I'm going to tell you what. This coronavirus has did a lot of damage. In the U.S., there's 959,000 that have contracted it. 54,161 that had died as of this morning. Globally, 2,933,384 have had the disease. And 203,612 died. And no matter what any governor says or any politician says, it's only by the grace of God that that number is not 10 times higher and the death toll is not much greater. But I want you to listen at the warning we are given in Revelation 9:18. But these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and smoke coming out of their mouth. You recognize that there's coming a time where there'll be plagues that come and one third of all of men and women on this earth will be killed. I'm not being mean and I'm not being disheartened, but what we're seeing right now is nothing compared to the judgment and wrath of God when it's poured out on sin. And we need to recognize that today. We need to understand that the judgment of God is coming. And listen what he says. Remember, he's already talked about how, and we've talked about how some trust in militaries and money and position and power. Listen what he says in verse 9. He says, he makes wars to cease. Listen, he breaks the bow and he cuts the spear into pieces or asunder and he burns the chariots of fire. You know that the bow, the spear, and the chariot were at the top, the pinnacle of military power. Today would be that he takes the guns and the missiles and the technology and the satellites and all that and he just crumbles them into pieces. You see, he'll put an end to a war that'll never be raised up again. With just the words of his mouth, praise God. And then he goes on, as the psalmist goes on, this is where he gets to the point and he says, be still and know that I am God. Now we've already talked about the be still. While it may not be comforted or comfortable, the Lord is saying, stop moving. Pay attention. Hush and listen to me, Elohim, the mighty one, the I am. Then he says, and know. Now when you look at the word know in the Bible, it carries a lot of ideas. But here, when we see the and know, the idea is to look upon, and not with a passing glance, but with a gaze upon, with eyes wide open, completely focused on Him, earnestly, diligently inspecting Him with the purpose of gaining revelation and understanding. seeing Him as that true and loving God and that one that died and shed His blood, but also as the coming judge and the righteous one. And you see, that's why we've got to be still. That's why we've got to be quiet, because we don't want any distractions from looking and listening at Him. Hush, stop moving and pay attention. Look at me, and then you'll know me in a way you've never known me before. He goes on, and listen what he says after that. He says, I want you to know me as God. And I can't help but think, because when we understand who He is and the closer we get to Him, then what does He say? He says, and I will be exalted among the heathen, among the lost nations. And I will be exalted among all the earth. The word exalted, to see, He's saying, I will be raised up. I will be lifted higher above everything else as a sign of my triumph. Isaiah 54:23, by myself I have sworn, from my mouth has gone out in righteousness a word that shall not return. To me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall declare allegiance. Romans 14:11, for as it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. And then Philippians 2:9-11. Therefore God has highly exalted Him. Therefore God has lifted Him high, and He's going to lift Him higher. And bestowed on Him a name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that the Lord Jesus Christ is King, the glory of God the Father. And there's coming a day that every knee, Satan's knee, demons' knees, atheist knees, everybody who's rejected God, Christ Jesus, His Lord and Savior, no matter how much they try and hold back, no matter how much they want to buckle, they're still going to waver and bow down underneath the power and the glory of Jesus. Isn't that awesome? That His glory is going to be so great that when it falls on them, they're not going to help but fall down in His presence. But you know what? Praise God, as Christians, He has called us, He has chosen us, and He has empowered us to exalt Him, not later, but now. It is our job to be knowing Him, listening to Him, seeing Him differently than the lost world sees Him. And then we lift Him up higher than anything else in our life. We raise Him up more supreme than anything in our world and in this country. And we exalt Him to a place of triumph over us. Again, He is the Lord of hosts. He is the Almighty of armies and welfares and battles. And you know what? He says, be still, get quiet, listen and look at me. That's who wants to talk to us today. That's who stopped the world so He could talk to us. Got us in a place so that we could listen. You know what today? We don't have to fear COVID-19. We don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear wars. We don't have to fear the government. We don't have to fear Satan. As it says in Psalms 118:6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what a man can do to me. The only thing we have to fear today is God Almighty. Shh. Be still. Listen. In these scriptures, He says, I'm your refuge and I'm your strength. I'm a flowing river of refreshment, joy, and strength in your life. I'm the Lord of hosts, or the Almighty of armies, welfare, and battle. And I'm always with you. So slow down. Be quiet and pay attention, because there's a whole lot more I want to tell you. Be still, be quiet, and know that He alone is God. Here's the invitation. Beginning this morning, I'll ask you to ask yourself some of these questions. Lord, how have You spoken to me during this time? What have I learned about my relationship with Jesus Christ? In what way has the Holy Spirit moved within me? What a shame and disaster it would be to miss out on what God wants to tell us and show us during these times. So here's my invitation, you might say, today. Will you purpose in your heart and commit to being still, to being quiet, and simply listening and looking at the Lord? Maybe today you need to rededicate your life. All you have to do is simply confess. Lord, I've drifted away from being your child and what you've called me to be. I've not let you be exalted in my life, but today I want to again. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you'll simply say, Dear Lord Jesus, I've broken your rules. I deserve punishment. And I feel your Holy Spirit drawing me. And I want to live my life for you. They don't matter the words you say. It's the heart you say it with as the Spirit draws you. If you do that, please let me or one of our deacons or at least somebody know. Maybe you have another pastor or another friend, but let them know. Then lastly, I've not been saying this much, but maybe you've realized you need to be a member of Thomas Village Baptist Church. We didn't say you couldn't be members just because we ain't having service. We might not have it figured out how to do it, but we'll do our best to make sure you're a part of us. We might even let you be a media member. Hey, if things don't change long, that's all we're going to have, ain't it? Nah. Again, it's been good to be with you today. Be still. Be quiet. You'll be amazed at what He wants to tell you. God bless you. And I want to have a word of prayer with you. And I'll see you tonight. And remember, tonight, it's going to tie with this one because we're going to talk about the ways that God speaks to us. So that when we get still and we get quiet, then we'll know what to listen for. Amen? All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank You for this day. I pray Your message is going forth. We give You all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. See you this evening. Bye-bye.